What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, Anne Catherine.
And Caroline. Today, we're going to talk about friendships. I don't think we've done an
Sounds like a Care Bears.
Today, we're going to talk about friendships. I don't think we've done an episode on like friendships and relationships or anything kind of up that alley in a while, but it's definitely something I've been thinking about a lot in my own life. And so it's a topic I wanted to bring to the podcast. And I think friendships can be difficult for different reasons at any age and at any stage of our life. But I think especially like the phase of life that we're in right now, out of school, starting your career, a lot of people are like moving in different directions, kind of that like early 20s era. Friendships can be especially hard because there's a lot of change happening. There's a lot of change happening in your own life, in your friends' lives, but also I think there's a lot of change in friendship dynamics to begin with.
Right. I mean, we're all kind of post-grad or moving into post-grad, and people are moving into career paths and other interests that are not necessarily where you may have met them at, assuming, you know, you met them at a certain time in your life. Likely a lot of college friendships during school, or you're learning a trade or starting your career, and then you moved on from that, the binding ingredient to the friendship is no longer. So it either exposes that there's nothing else binding you, which is totally fine. That just means you're likely not going to stay friends or stay the same type of friends. Or it exposes that people maybe aren't good friends, or it exposes that there are other things to align on and you do align, and then you become stronger friends and move forward as you both grow in either the same or different directions, but you grow in a direction.
Yeah. I think it's a time that like kind of on both ends, people who you may not have been as closer with because maybe in school you always knew each other and liked each other, but you were in like slightly different circles, or it just like wasn't as natural for you guys to be close friends. Somehow you might connect because maybe you end up in the same city as somebody. And now, even though you weren't that close before, that's like a relatable person. And you realize, oh, maybe we could have been friends the whole time. Or maybe we were just supposed to meet and like build this friendship now. At the same time, you might find yourself growing apart from some of your best friends, or not even necessarily growing apart in the sense that like, oh, I feel like we're different people and we're actually growing in different directions. But I think there's also the logistical element as well, where a lot of the times we find ourselves no longer in the convenient location where we are surrounded by all of these friends and all of the relationships that we have made. Friendships can be a hard thing to navigate at any point. I think now more than ever is a time where you might feel like you're starting over in friendships, or we are more prone to feeling loneliness or feeling like we are on our own.
Or what I think you're feeling right now and maybe having a harder time accepting in this moment is the fact that when, you know, the binding ingredient is no longer.
Yeah.
Some relationships aren't meant to stay, which is completely fine, but it takes accepting that and like being content with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So as we run through this episode, we want to talk about why friendships are harder at this age, and like why this is such a natural time to feel like you're struggling with it and you don't know how to make friends anymore and you feel kind of more alone than you have before, and also ways to move forward with that and how to take the positives out of them. Because at the same time, it's a really exciting age to meet new people, because even though you might find yourself growing apart from the people that you've always known, you're now like kind of a more mature and more self-assured version of yourself, where you can go meet people who align with like who you are right now. And that's also a really exciting thing.
Right. Well, there's less limitations. And, you know, when we go through school, you're presented with a pool of people and everyone's kind of like bucketed into, I play this sport or I'm in these classes, and that's how you meet people. And like, I changed friend groups a lot in high school and growing up, but within a certain set of people, because, you know, you can't just go and like meet people from the other school unless maybe you played a sport with them. Whereas when you're not in school or not in a lot of these things that provide us with an immediate pool of people, which is why it's really hard to make friends in, you know, your adult life, because you don't have those set parameters where you're presented with like, hey, here's 30 people in this cohort of a class you're taking or work, or, you know, people that are in the same situation as you that are also in the same phase of life as you and are also maybe new to this thing. Make friends with them. Out of these 10, 20, 30 people, make friends with these people. When you're, you know, moving to a new city or starting a new job in a new place that is not on the same timeline as every single other person around you, that's when it's difficult of like, how do I make friends? Because you're not put on the same even playing field as everyone else, which makes it really intimidating to go make friends. But the alternative is that when you do eventually, because it takes a long time, but you will eventually find your group and find some people that work for you and are a great friendship, those friendships are likely a lot stronger, a lot more interesting, and a lot more beneficial to you than friendships that you may have had in high school or college or growing up, just because they were presented to you and you made the most of what was in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. And I think it brings up how friendships in our 20s can suddenly feel a lot harder because it's no longer a group dynamic. It is completely an individual activity. Growing up, you're always in classes with people. You're in the same grade as people. You're in sports teams. You're in sororities, whatever it may be. You are naturally in groups with people. You can go about friendships from this group setting. Suddenly, not only are relationships so much more one-on-one than they ever have been, but it's completely on you to go and find people in different pockets of your life and forge those relationships on your own.
Right, which is the part that's obviously way more intimidating and way more difficult, approaching something individually than approaching something as a group that's like surely been studied very extensively, because approaching something as a group is a lot more stronger. Because everything is diluted within a group. But when you approach something, especially making friends within a group, you dilute yourself into that group. So when you are now approaching friendships and making new relationships as your own individual person, you don't have to shy away from any part of yourself or any interest. You can go out and find specific people that share that common interest and you can spread it out rather than making yourself one certain type of way to go make friends with like a larger group. I feel like a lot of people in their adult life have more individual friends kind of scattered about in different sections of their life, which is really interesting. And I've always really appreciated that about varying friends. The types of things that you share with friend A and the types of things that you share with friend B, friends A and B wouldn't connect over anything, but you personally have different connections to each of them. So that's why it works. Whereas if you were to show up as a group, you miss out on a lot of those friendships that not everyone in the group can share over, which is why I think it's really cool to be able to explore different types of friendships and to make different friends and also to show up as your individual self. Obviously, we're twins. For all of our lives, we've showed up as a group.
Yeah.
As one of two. And it was great to have a lot of friends that were the same, or we'd always like be a trio of someone. But then we weren't ever showing up as our own individual person. That like completely changed me going out and finding my own friends and my own interests that were completely separate, because existing as your own person is so, and practicing that, which I think going out and making new friends or just like going to a workout class or trying things on your own, which is a huge part of making friends because it's a gradual process. Rather, you can just go out and I'm going to make a friend today and then make, you know what I mean? Like make an actual friend. It takes a long time to develop friendships and the friendships that you might be looking for.
Yeah.
But it's a huge learning process and it gains you so much confidence and so much like self-development when you do so. So I think it's like a massive thing, especially at this transitional time in our lives, which a lot of listeners are kind of on the same life trajectory. If you're not taking this to your advantage and learning how to make friendships as your own individual person or explore different types of friendships, you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't completely take that on.
Yeah, the whole thing with like individual versus group friendships, I think it is really daunting in the same way I think it's a more mature way to have relationships. And I think being in that space right now is honestly really pushing me in my friendships and my relationships, but also in my individuality. Because like, and Catherine brought up a good point, as twins, it's very, very easy for me to default into a group setting and not always have to be one-on-one. Because for a lot of our life, it has ended up being two-on-one. Like if I'm not in a group, I've always kind of had my sister there to lean on. I've kind of always envied people who are really good at one-on-one close relationships, because like I do think I have a lot of great friendships in my life. I'm like not always in them one-on-one. Like it's always like, oh, we are all friends as a group, and like, yeah, we have like side moments and side things by ourselves, but I don't necessarily have that many people where I'm like, that is just my friend and my friend only. Like it's always like, oh, and that is Aunt Catherine and I's friend. Or like, oh, I am friends with them. Like they, them
which
together.
Which is what happens like naturally being twins that share a lot of the same things in life.
Yeah.
Like the closer you get with someone individually, like eventually they're going to become friends with both of us. So like that's just kind of inevitable.
Yeah.
But what I will say is I love having large friend groups that really work and are like supportive of each other in every single aspect is phenomenal. Having one-off individual friends is great and is very helpful and beneficial for so many reasons. You don't want to only have one-off friends and like, you know, you can only ever hang out one-on-one with every single person. Having a friend group, even if that's three people, you don't have to have a friend group of 15 people. Like that's not attainable. What I will say is having individual relationships, like true individual relationships within a group setting, which is why I really like my friends at home, which part of it is just who people are and why, you know, why I'm friends with these people in general, but everyone shows up as their own individual person. There's no one person that I would have a hard time and who I haven't hung out one-on-one with, or who I wouldn't feel comfortable communicating one-on-one with, or just like, you know, so everyone has their own individual relationships, and I completely respect and support everyone else having individual relationships with each other. And even smaller, like if it's a larger group, like, oh, these four people and then these three people have a different dynamic, and that's a great thing. And everyone has their own individual dynamic with everyone. In order to actually have that, you need to understand what it takes and how you can show up as a good friend, as your own individual friend, not showing up in a group, which this is obviously something that plays into your confidence. It plays into your own sense of individuality. And like, as you develop your own self, this will naturally develop. And it's not something that can develop overnight, which is why I think it comes to head at this time in our lives, because a lot of people have been on that trajectory of, you know, gaining confidence and gaining individuality. But a lot of people also haven't at this time and are maybe just starting. So when people are taken out of the group, you know, binding setting, it makes it a lot harder very quickly to be friends with people who are at a different level of like self-development and confidence from you, because how you experience and approach friendships or relationships has so much to do with how you approach like your own relationship to yourself. And so if that's not on a similar level, then it's really hard for both people.
And so it can be so much harder to navigate all of a sudden, because we are not just in these groups by default. And it really becomes our own responsibility to make new relationships one-on-one, but also manage our relationships one-on-one. Because even people that I've always been friends with in group settings, now we've kind of scattered and spread apart. And so now you kind of have to maintain those relationships. And so I think that's definitely one big piece that we all experience at this age, where friendship is no longer a group activity, it's an individual activity. I think the second big thing that I'm feeling, and that I think is probably typical of everyone, is that relatability is harder. In the same sense that we've always kind of been in group cohorts, suddenly everyone is very much on their own path. Whether that is just with your individual growth and passions and interests, whether that is in your career, whether that is in your relationships and being on a different relationship timeline, it's very rare that there is going to be another person who is in the exact same place in life as you with all of these things. And so it becomes a lot easier to feel like you're alone, or feel like people don't relate to you in the same way that you're used to. And I've kind of found myself feeling that way. Like, I love all of my friends around me, but I'm finding it hard to like relate to people in the same way, because I do feel like I'm doing slightly different things than the people around me, if that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. And in some relationships, that can be really beneficial, because if you are in a friendship where you really care about what the other person is doing, even if you have no clue what it means, but you just like sitting there and listening, or bonding over the things that, you know, you do share rather than things that you increasingly no longer share, that can be kind of a make it or break it moment in a relationship of how do you navigate when you have less in common, and how when you have less relatability to each other. Some relationships and friendships, for no like tangible reason, just aren't going to work when you have less relatability. Some are going to get stronger when you have less relatability.
Yeah, I think in the sense for me, it's not even like it's a negative thing about relationships in general. It is just something that I'm noticing, that in my life and within all of my friendships, I feel like I'm having a harder time relating to people, or feeling like anyone is like in the same space as me. And that doesn't mean that friendships like have to be less strong because of it, or that anyone is like doing anything wrong because people are on different paths and doing different things. It is just simply something that like I have noticed, and I think that it takes more effort now for me to like be open about my life and about my feelings, because it's not necessarily just assumed anymore that like, oh, you're feeling how I'm feeling, we're doing the same things, like you get it. I think now suddenly we have to be more intentional and more open about like actually explaining our lives to other people and explaining how we're feeling to other people, because it's not like we are just in the same position by default anymore. We are learning things about ourselves at a different rate than other people are. Like, you might feel like you're growing so much and you're learning in ways that your friends are, and like you kind of want to share that with them, but you also kind of feel weird about it because you might not want to be judged by them, or you're not sure if they'll relate to them. On the other hand, you could be in a position where you feel like so many people around you are getting opportunities. Like, someone just got a dream job, someone's in a great relationship, all of these things, and you might not be there yet. And like, it is of no fault of other people's, but you might feel this sense of resentment deep down, just feeling like we're in different places. Because if you have good relationships and good friendships with people, Like, in the same way that you care about your friends and you want to support them and you want to be a part of their life and know what's going on, surely they want the same from you. But it just takes a little more effort to, like, have these one-on-one relationships and explain to each other, because it gets really hard when we're caught up in our own lives and our own jobs and our own interests to, like, keep other people up to date with what those things are. And so suddenly at this phase of life, it's not as easy to be like, oh, I know exactly what you're doing. Like, I know your class schedule and who you hang out with, and we live together, or we have a class together, or we're in a sorority together. And so, like, we kind of are always on the same page. Suddenly you're just not anymore. And so it takes that extra level of effort to get people caught up and stay on the same page as people. But it also becomes, you know, a natural rift in some relationships where you just may be in two different of places, or you may just be growing in different directions or at different rates, where understanding each other is just not something that's going to happen right now.
Right. Or simply when the binding agent of your relationship is no longer, like, you guys just don't work as friends, and that's perfectly fine.
And then, of course, there's the logistics of it all. People are moving locations. People's schedules are changing. Like, a lot of the time at this age, you're moving away from your friends. Like, I think it's very rare that your hometown friend group or childhood friend group or your college friend group are all going to be in the same place. So logistically, now you're having to manage relationships with people who are in different places. And you also may be somewhere new, trying to figure out how you make new friends somewhere. Or maybe you stayed in your same city and a lot of people moved away and you're suddenly like, oh, I am here and people are not here. And how do I make new friends in this place I've been in forever? Like, in all different ways, logistically, things are going to change. And that's, like, a really interesting thing that we have to navigate as well. Proximity doesn't always have to determine closeness. We grew up moving around a little bit. Like, we lived in Hong Kong and went to an international school there in middle school. And for years after, in high school, some of our closest best friends were people that were still in Hong Kong. And we had these long distance friendships, and we would get together when we could in summer and in Christmas. And still, some of my, like, best friends that I would consider to this day are those people that I lived with in Hong Kong in middle school, and I haven't lived in the same place with forever. Even if those are the people that I feel like are some of my closest, most trustworthy friends, some of the people that I love most in the world, they are not the people that I'm in touch with on a daily or weekly or even sometimes monthly basis. Because locations change and logistics change, our relationships are going to change.
And I think that's really important to note, because if you're in, like, physically in a different place geographically than your friend, you can still be friends with them. You do not have to be texting and calling 24/7, because that is a whole other thing. You know how I feel about social media and technology with relationships. It is a great thing to help people stay in touch who are not in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
That should not be your only form of communication and form of, like, relationship continuation with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Through the internet, that's not a real connection. That's a way to stay in touch and a means of communication, but that is not a form of connection. The amount of people who rely on social media and technology and the internet for all of their friendships and relationships, mm-hmm. and have such a lack of real life,
yeah,
friendships and relationships is, like, the downfall, I think, of a lot of people's experience making friends and maintaining friends, and why it becomes so much harder, because we're less interested in just, like, putting ourselves out there in public and practicing relationships in real life.
Yeah.
Like, we're so out of practice with having relationships and having connections and having friendships in real life because of technology and social media. And again, I think it's a great thing to help people stay in touch. There are so many friendships that I would not have today if it weren't for social media as a means of communication.
Mm-hmm.
But I would never rely on technology as my only form of connection with someone, or my main form of connection with most people.
Yeah. And I think in that sense, that's why a lot of these people who, like, I love most in the world, we're not in touch on a frequent basis, like, telling each other everything about our lives and stuff, because then that would take us out of our own lives. Like,
right.
They're the types of people where whenever we can find time to get together and take a trip, or when there is something big we want to share with each other, we're going to take the trip to see each other, or we're going to catch up about those things. But it would be pulling me out of my own real life and pulling them out of their own real life to try to stay in daily contact when you're just not in the same place anymore. And so it's really important to have friends who are in the same place as you, because those are the people that you are making fresh memories with.
You guys know by now, and Catherine and I love to travel. We love to experience new things, and we love Rosetta Stone to learn new languages the most natural way. As kids, we were both pretty fluent in Mandarin. Our family moved to Hong Kong, and we learned at an international school every day. But as time has gone by, I've started to feel like I lost a lot of it. Actually, I didn't just feel that way, it's true. So in the past year, I've recommitted to learning Mandarin again, and Rosetta Stone has been the best way to do it on my own time. You're not memorizing random vocabulary or translating everything back to English. You actually learn the language the way it's meant to be learned by connecting words, visuals, and meaning in context. The lessons are super easy to fit into your day. I'll do a quick session in the morning or even just a few minutes when I have downtime. And I've genuinely noticed my pronunciation improving with their true accent feature, which gives you real-time feedback. Rosetta Stone just makes the whole language learning process feel way more natural and actually sustainable. So whether your goal is to travel, to reconnect with something from your past like me, or just to learn something new, it is such a good way to make it feel intentional. So if you're ready to start learning a new language, visit rosettastone.com and use code TODAY to get started. That's rosettastone.com and code TODAY to begin your language learning journey.
I think there's like two sides of relationships. There is who you're actually doing things with now. You're doing activities, you're going out with, you're making these new memories with. And then there is like who knows you the best and is like actually there for you. And those might not always be the same people. And I think that is something that we have to navigate when these logistics come into play. And maybe your best friend is no longer in the same city as you. And so they're no longer the people that you are seeing on a day-to-day basis, but they're always going to be the person who like knows you the best and who you can trust the most. Naturally, you're going to have to navigate that shift in dynamic of like, okay, we're not in the same place anymore. Well, how often are we going to talk now? What is the balance of that when we are not just naturally together every day? That's something that like, one, you do have to make an effort for, but also we do kind of have to just naturally let sort out, because it's not always in our control that we can keep all of the people we love in the same place all the time. People are naturally moving around because everyone is on their own life path. It's definitely something I've been thinking about as I'm thinking about where do I want to live, is like one by one, I feel like all of my best friends from college have moved to New York City. And even though it's not somewhere that I've ever been like, I have to live in New York City, when I think about where I want to go next in the life that I want to build, I keep coming back to this thought of like, how awesome would it be to have my best friends around the corner from me and to be able to continue those relationships? And it's just made me think of like, if a job is worth moving for, a romantic relationship is worth moving for, are friends worth moving for too? It's an interesting question, because on one hand, I don't think we should ever do something that isn't actually natural to our lives and exactly what we want to do. And so I don't think it should ever be, just like I don't think you should ever move to somewhere totally random that you don't want for a job, because you have to take into account that that is going to be your life every day. And I don't think that you should move somewhere just for a relationship if it's somewhere that's not going to make you happy, because that's going to be your life every day. It's also the same thing with friendships. I think we always need to be making the choices that actually feel the most right to us. But I do think it's an interesting thing to take into consideration of like, if I'm going somewhere totally new, I know that I'm putting myself in a place where I'm going to have to meet new people. I'm going to have to put myself out there. And there might be great friends and there might be, you know, amazing relationships for the rest of my life on the other side of it. But I know I'm going to have to start over. And it does feel kind of safe to stay somewhere or go somewhere where you already have these relationships that you can continue. It's not like necessarily a question I have an answer to, but I think it's an interesting consideration when we value things like romantic relationships and work as reasonable reasons to move, but not necessarily like who is in your community and who is in different places. So friendships being individual and not in a group anymore, relatability being harder, and all of these logistical things are reasons why friendships get so much harder at this time of our life. And I think one thing, you know, and Catherine was bringing up earlier, we genuinely have to make an effort to make friendships. And I think you brought it up in a point of like social media, and like it would be easy to try to like only just stay in touch through social media with people that you have known or stuff like that. We have to make an effort to make real relationships where we are right now.
Because there's a lot of, when you're making new friendships and, you know, forging your relationships, there's so much trial and error of like, oh, I met them at a workout class. We have something in common. I like their shoes. We have something in common. We have a mutual friend. We have something in common. But then maybe the more you get to know them, the less likely you are to have, you know, a good friendship. That's fine. That's trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to just like go meet one friend and that's going to be immediately you're going to have the best friendship and best relationship. If that happens, like things are going to crash and burn just as fast as they came.
True.
In.
I've had that, things like that.
Yeah. That's like, I think about that with everything. Like things go out the same way that they come in every time. So if you're like oh my God, I just met my best friend, blah, blah, blah. And it's like a manic episode. It's going to crash and burn. It's going to be bad. That's
you're
going to
hate this, but it's
want.
Making me think of a Taylor Swift line. And I can't think of exactly the words she said.
Picture to burn.
You know,
her best
terrified
song.
I am of elevators. If it goes up fast, it will crash. I don't know. That's totally not it, but it's like along those lines. So like maybe you're a fan. Maybe you think more similarly to her than you thought you did.
I don't think so. But like it just takes a lot of trial and error. And when you do find someone that you're like, oh, like this is, we're getting along. Mm-hmm. It takes so much time to reach different stages of a relationship and of closeness. Like you have to be so patient and actually put effort into like, let's hang out. Let's do this. Let's do this. It's a practice. We're not looking for a friend that's there for like 2 months of your life and then it's gone and then you have to repeat the cycle. No, you want to show up as a good friend for people, for the right people for you, and you want them to show up as a good friend for you, and you want to have a good friendship and continue growing that really, really slowly so that it is actually something that's meaningful and beneficial for you both and stays in your life longer term.
Yeah. I like your points of trial and error and effort because I think people should treat making new friends the same way they treat dating. And like, honestly, people put way too much effort into dating and way too little effort into making new friends, because if you treated friendships in the same way and you went on like first dates with people just to get to know them, you would make so many more friends. But for some reason, we like don't do that as often. But like, we should be meeting people and then go make a plan to go for a walk, go get coffee, go get a drink, get to know them. And then you decide after that if you think it's like worth investing in a relationship or not. In the same way that people do first dates, I feel like you should do that with friendships. Like, don't be afraid to make plans and meet people. And if you don't totally vibe, you're not stuck in a friendship for life, but like you tried it.
But also, if you ask someone, like, say you're in a, you go to the gym or you go to like workout class or something that everyone else who shows up to the same place at the same time as you, you have something in common, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe you smile at someone 1 week and then like you compliment their shoes next week and then like you just like say, hey, slowly, it may take like 2 months to get to, you know what I mean? To get to a point where you're actually like having a conversation and you're like, oh, this is so-and-so, like I know them from the gym. And then you can say, hey, do you want to like go grab a coffee after this class? Do you want to do this? Think about if the roles were reversed and someone that you like had an ounce of something in common with asked you to go get coffee. Like you're not going to say no. Right. You're not going to not have an interest in it. But it takes balls to ask someone that you've never hung out with and that you don't have many connections with to hang out. Like,
no, I literally had that
and
exact
that's
experience.
Why, like, that's why when you get over that, making friends does not seem that difficult and daunting, because what's the worst that's going to happen? If someone says no, whatever.
Right.
You weren't friends with them before.
Right.
Nothing changed. You kinda, except you tried. Like, that's a great thing.
You kind of need to just ask and do it. Like, when we were in Australia, I went to, like, some workout classes on my own. And there was one day, and I think it was either my first or second class that I ever did, and there was a girl there, and we were working out together. And she was really nice, and she was like, I just moved here to Sydney from Auckland, from New Zealand, and we were chatting, and I was like, oh, I just got here. I'm literally only here for like a month or two, very temporarily. I'm from Boston, whatever. And she was like, do you want to get a coffee? And I was like, right now?
Yeah.
And it was like, it was low key kind of daunting, because it's hard to be like, what am I going to talk about with someone that I've never met before for an hour and we are going to sit down and get coffee? But like,
the script is already written. The script for the first time you hang out with someone, no matter what kind of relationship it is, the script is written. It's the second time hanging out with them that you got to put more effort into. But that's going to go well if you are a caring and kind person, maybe you're a social person. The second time is going to go well. The first time, everything is already written.
Yes.
There's no effort into like, where are you from? What do you like to do?
Okay,
what do you do for work?
Maybe
where do you
that's
live?
Why I got caught up and I never hung out with her a second time.
The hard part is the second time.
I actually really liked the girl and we had a great time. We got great coffee. And now I follow her and I love seeing her still living her life. And I know social media, but I love seeing her still living her life in Bondi. And I'm like, oh, I missed that.
That's great. You don't know her.
I know.
Because you never hung out with her.
I know. Well, because then we left it. And, you know, she had just moved there and we left. But
never be afraid to hang out with someone the first time.
But don't
and then
be
you know what happens?
To.
This is what you do. You hang out with someone one time. You read the script. Where are you from? What do you do for work? Do you have siblings? Like the basic things. Yeah. And then you know what? They say, oh, I do. I have a twin sister. She lives in New York City right now. Next time you hang out with her, you say, there's this restaurant that I came up on my TikTok in New York. Like next time you're visiting your sister, you should go. Whatever sparks an interest in you, or if you have something to refer, use the information, the basic information you learned in the first, like this is There's such a lost art because people don't actually practice it because we're all glued to our phones and no one has social skills anymore. But like the first meaning of someone is set for you. The second meaning of someone has to do with your social skills and your ability to care about building that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's all it is. And it's daunting because you never know how it's going to, like, it's daunting because of the fear of rejection. No shit. Someone could say they don't want to go get coffee with you or be like, I'm not interested. Like I'm not friends with people with bobs. Like,
here's my challenge for the week, actually, because I went to a workout class in New York City a couple weeks ago. On my way out, I see this girl and we're like, oh my God, hi. Like, we've been following each other on Instagram for like 5 years. And she does reviews of workout studios in New York City. If anyone follows her, it's like CR in the city. Caroline Rose. We're both Caroline, actually. And then we were going the same direction home. And so she actually helped me like take the subway route home together. And we like,
see, that's huge.
You know, and we like, you know, chatted and made small talk on the subway. So my challenge would be like, okay, now that I've broken the ice and actually met a person, I should continue a relationship and I should actually ask to hang out a second time. It's nerve-wracking though. It's nerve-wracking to like actually build new relationships and put yourself out there. And it's so much more comfortable to be
it's only nerve-wracking because you don't know how it's going to end. But that's the point
of it.
But
it is like genuinely for me so uncomfortable sometimes to be like, oh, okay, I've broken the ice. Like I did that. What now I have to do it again? Like, it's harder
you already did it,
but it's harder until you're actually like close friends with someone to do that, especially when you meet people where you're like, I know I have so much in common with her. We've been connecting on social media for years and she like does workout classes around the city. She'd be like a great person for me to know.
What if they don't like me? What if they don't like me? What if I say
something
wrong?
But it's all of that.
At the end of the day, like, it's everyone else is thinking the same things too, but that's when you show up with the confidence in yourself.
Yeah.
To go through that and then to continue showing up both for yourself and for this other person that you're interested in being friends with.
Yeah.
And slowly but surely, you will grow a friendship. It's scary when you haven't practiced it. But again, the more you practice something, and friendship is no different, even just communicating with strangers in public. We talked about this recently, too. It's such a practice of just being yourself and being human that people have gotten so far away from. That's why it's increasingly scary. And every day I go back in time with the way that I think, but like saying this, like, phones are bad. This is the problem. But like, yeah, just if you see someone and you want to be friends with them, say hi.
Because we've sped up like way too far. I think we need to reverse like technology and stuff like that. But that's not actually going to happen. So it's really
sad. Mom with her AI dog.
Oh my God. So that is definitely a huge thing. We have to put effort into friendships. You have to let yourself be uncomfortable. You have to be willing to put yourself out there. And most of the time, people are receptive to that too. But it's also okay if you're not. Treat it like dating. If the first date is like really awkward and doesn't go well and you don't actually like the person, you don't have to see them again. Like, treat friendships and stuff the same way.
I think about that. Do you remember, like, if anyone listening, like, if you went to college the first week, you're DMing people on Instagram or finding people on Facebook that you just, like, even one thing. Maybe they're from a town that you visited a lot.
You just think
they have one interest, or you think they look similar to people you're friends with, so you probably might get along. You hang out with them, and you like that's what people did the first week of college because you didn't know anyone, and you had to seek people out and try things. There are so many people that I like got lunch with in attempting to be friends with them that I just like we weren't interested in each other. Like, it wasn't working, so we never got lunch again. That's fine. Do I remember their names? No. Do they remember mine? Probably not. And that's fine. It doesn't always have to be perfect, especially when you're seeking friends. Like, it is such a trial and error, and it's such a process.
And I think in that sense, the second point we have is that we need to be more flexible with our friendships, because we're not the only ones going through change at this time. All of our friends are too. And so I think we need to be flexible with relationships ebbing and flowing. At the same time, that is a great thing about friendships that you don't get from like romantic relationships, because platonic friendships are not exclusive and they can ebb and flow in a way that like when you have an exclusive romantic relationship, you know, it's either 100 or zero. Friendships don't have to be 100 or zero. So we can be kind of flexible with our friends and we can let those relationships change as we change through different eras of our lives. And I think that means on one hand, like if those logistics are changing and you're not in the same place as people, you're not going to be in as much contact with them. It doesn't mean that you guys care about each other any less. It just means that your lives are going in different places. They may reconnect later, or, you know, the frequency at which you're in touch just may change.
Right, which I think a big thing to note is that you have to change your expectations of that friendship. Because if you don't, if the friendship changes but you don't change your expectations with it, you're going to continuously be let down and then grow resentful of that relationship. When you could just change your expectations of it. Change where that relationship is prioritized in your roster of relationships, mm-hmm. as long as you're managing your expectations so that you don't continuously get let down and then feel disappointed, and that will like hurt your confidence and play into so many different aspects that could have been mitigated if you just kind of assessed the situation and went with it.
Yeah. I think we also need to give our friends a bit more grace, like at this age.
Right. That's kind of what changing expectations means mm-hmm. to me, is like giving people more grace so that you don't get upset with them.
Yeah.
But you also don't get upset with yourself for like, oh, I expected more of this person. Well, they're in a different place. Like they're yeah. stressed with their job and maybe they are in a new relationship. Like those are reasons, and there are reasons in life when people as friends maybe don't show up as the best friend. And that's fine in mm-hmm. most cases if you just like assess the situation and
yeah.
and go with it and support them through that. And that may look like, hey, I'm going to back off too and be less demanding of you as a friend. And then we'll pick this up when we're ready to pick mm-hmm. it up.
Yeah, I think we definitely have to give people more grace in our friendships in our 20s, because we are all navigating so much change and so much like in our own lives and our own stresses and our own identities at the same time, that like there's just so much space for miscommunication, or there's so much space for doing something when you didn't have the wrong intention, but you were just caught up in your own life. And I would hope that people would be able to give me that same grace if I, you know, was out of touch for a while, or if I said something that I actually changed my mind on later and I didn't actually mean. Like, I would hope that people would be able to give that to me. And so I've definitely had situations in the past year where I have felt like hurt by friends or misunderstood by friends. And I've had to kind of take a step back and realize, like, I don't think anyone has any bad intentions here. I think we are just misunderstanding each other a little bit. And in that sense, I've had to be a little bit flexible with saying like, okay, maybe I'm going to step back and give myself a little bit of space right now, but it doesn't have to go from 100 to zero. I don't have to completely mm-hmm. negate these people and get rid of them, because these are my close friends. We just might have to shift where we're at, or I just might have to step back for a moment until we get back to a place where there is more relatability here. And I feel like we can like give each other the friendship that we want to. As much as this can be a really confusing and conflicting and like sometimes lonely time when it comes to navigating friendships, it's also a very empowering time, because more than ever in our lives, we have an opportunity to go make one-on-one relationships with people as who we are right now. Like relationships that aren't built on just being in the same place at the same time, relationships that aren't just built on history and having known each other from childhood, but relationships based on I really connect with you and where you're at right now. And that's an empowering thing, to be able to show up like as the version of yourself right now and meet people like that. So as much as it can be confusing and overwhelming to navigate, I also think it's like a really special time. And I am really excited about, you know, the people that I hope to meet in these next years, and also strengthening like the relationships and the friendships that I already have and seeing how they grow. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode and that, you know, it made you feel a little bit more comfortable with where you're at and empowered to move forward in it. And maybe some clarity on some of the things you're feeling with your friendships. I don't know. Maybe some of the things we said are things that you're feeling that you just haven't really heard voiced before. That's always the hope of the show. So thank you for being with us. Make sure you're following the show wherever you listen, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at Caroline Kinnean,
at Aunt Catherine Kinnean,
and at Girls with Goals Pod for all things the podcast. And we'll see you next Monday. Bye.